Welcome to the Shiur Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Noso. Wanted to say a few short verklach tonight from the Aksava Kabbalah, and two of them are actually the Aksava Kabbalah quoting earlier sources, quoting Rishonim. It's interesting to note that although the Aksava Kabbalah, again, much of what he wrote was entirely original, but the numerous times where he would just bring Perushim from earlier sources simply because he thought that it was important for the reader to be familiar with them. And in some cases, as we'll see, there are sources that the average reader may not necessarily have had access to. So we'll start with a short idea from Perek Dalid, Pasuk Mem Zayin. The Psukim are describing the Pekudei HaLevim, the census taken of the Levim. And the pasuk says, "Miben shloshim shana v'malo ve'ad ben chamishim shana." The Levim were counted from the ages of 30 till the ages of 50. Kol haba la'avod avodas avoda v'avodas masa be'ol moed. Anyone, any Levi who would come to perform the service of service and the service of carrying in the ol moed. So avodas masa, the service of carrying, we understand what that is. You know, the Mishkan was portable, and the Levim were charged with carrying the parts of the Mishkan from place to place. What's avodas avoda, the service of service? So Rashi writes, "Hu ashir b'mitzaltayim v'chinoros." This refers to the song of the Levim and their usage of various different instruments, the cymbals and the harp. Why is that? Why is the avodas hashir called avodas avoda? Shehi avoda avoda acheres, writes Rashi, because it's a form of service that serves something else. In other words, the point of the shiras halevim is to enhance the bringing of the karbonos, right? So, in other words, the shir of the levim is not an end in its own right; it's something that enhances another avoda. So says Rashi. The Aksava Kabbalah over here quotes a Rabbeinu B'chaye, and Rabbeinu B'chaye on this pasuk gives a somewhat different explanation as to why the Shiras HaLevim is referred to with the words Avodas Avoda. It's the service of a service. So writes the Rabbeinu B'chaye, "Ki k'shem shahamitzvah Avoda Lashem Yisvarach." You should know that just as doing a mitzvah is considered serving Hashem, Kein hasimcha al hamitzvah nikreis avoda. So too, doing the mitzvah with joy is called an avoda, an act of service of God in its own right. Kemo shekasuv tachas asher lo avadta Hashem Elokecha b'simcha. Right? We find later on in the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo that the Jews are punished because they didn't serve Hashem. The simcha, not just they didn't serve Hashem, they didn't serve Hashem with joy. Simcha yishleimus avoda. So we see that the avoda is not really complete until it's done b'simcha. Lochein, therefore, hashir shahayu halavim mishorim laovir asimcha mitzvah sahakrava. What was the point of the shiras halavim? So I think sometimes we think that the shiras halavim was just to provide a certain aesthetic quality to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, I mean, lahavdil, you walk into even a mall and they have music playing in the background, you know, because it adds a certain ambiance. You know, walk to Fine Fair, they have music playing in the background. It adds a certain ambiance, I guess, you know, to the shopping experience. So, you know, lahavdil, elef alfei havdalos, you walk into the Beis HaMikdash and, you know, the Levim are singing and playing on instruments and it's very beautiful. No, that may be true, but that's not the ikker, that's not the essence of what the Shiras HaLevim is all about. The Shiras HaLevim, writes the Rabbeinu B'chaye, is to inject a note of simcha, of joy, into the mitzvah of hakrava. Not just to provide, you know, a nice aesthetic experience, but the mitzvah of bringing the karbanos to Hashem should be done with joy. Kedei li'os ma'isa ha-mitzvah b'simcha. It creates, it injects simcha into the mitzvah of bringing the karbanos. Therefore, nikra avodas avoda. It is therefore called the avoda of avoda. Now, just to add to the Rabbeinu Bechaye for a moment, both Rashi and the Rabbeinu Bechaye interpret the term Avodas Avodas referring to the Shiras Halevim, but I think the way in which they interpret that term, Avodas Avodas, is radically different, almost diametrically opposed. According to Rashi, Avodas Avodas means the Shira, which is an Avoda, which serves another Avoda. Right? In other words, the impression one has from Rashi is that the Shira is not really important in its own right. It's a means to an end, right? It's not an avoda. It's something that enhances another avoda. I think the Rabbeinu Bechaye is interpreting the term avodas avoda in the same sense that we have the phrase Shabbos Shabboson or Kodesh Kodoshim. Kodesh Kodoshim means the holiest of the holy places. Shabbos Shabboson is the biggest Shabbos of all the Shabbosos. Avodas Avoda, I think according to Rabbeinu Bechaye, means the biggest Avoda is the Avoda of the Shiras Halevim. And that's what the Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, that HaSimcha Hishleimus HaAvoda. Without that element of Simcha, the Avoda is fundamentally incorrect. So it's not just that the Avodas HaShir enhances the Avodas HaAkrava, it brings the Avodas HaAkrava, it brings the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdosh to its pinnacle, to its ultimate realization. And in that sense, it's the Avodas Avoda. It's the Avoda of Avodas. It's the Kodesh Kodashim. It's the Shabbos Shabbosam. You know, it's the ultimate Avoda that enables the Avoda itself to be able to reach its highest Madrega. Right? So, the takeaway from this very, very short passage that the Ksav HaKabbalah quotes from Rabbeinu Bechaye is the supreme importance of Simcha in our Avodas Hashem, to the point where that aspect of the Beis HaMikdash that engenders Simcha is considered, you know, the Avodas Avoda, the ultimate Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Point number one for tonight. Second unrelated point for tonight. The Parsha goes on to speak about the Parsha of the Nazir. That's Perek Vav. Yes, so you can't say that, right? Because clearly the Kohen is, you know, considered to have more Kedusha than the Levi. But the Avoda which the Levi is doing is essential to make everything else work. I mean, that you definitely do see, right? When you're in some places, by gathering there, you're not sticking at all. Right, so they say that, you know, certain places in Klal Yisrael hold stark from what it says in the davening, Zmiros Yomeru. They'll say the Zmiros, right? You know, not Zmiros Yashiru, but Zmiros Yomeru. So, some would say that that's called the song. I mean, everyone has a different definition of what's called the song. You know, but in theory, song is definitely embraced, but everybody has their own definition of what Pesach is singing. Why didn't all the Payetanim write Zmiras for Yom Tov? Yeah, the Zmiras also. I mean, I know people don't say the Shalom Aleichem and the like. There's a minhag not to say the Zmiras of Shabbos on a Yom Tov. Maybe, I don't know. I thought you were asking a different question. So why didn't the Payetanim write songs for Yom Tov? We only have Zmiras for Shabbos. Right? We don't necessarily have Zmiras for Yom Tov. I don't know. Maybe the reason there aren't Zmiras for Yom Tov, I'm just throwing the idea out here, is because of the idea of Chasi Lashem and Chasi Lachem. In other words, there's an emphasis on Simcha on Yom Tov. And as much as, you know, this Rabbeinu Bechaye is speaking about Simcha in terms of song, when the Gemara defines Simcha in terms of Yom Tov, it's in terms of Achilo Shtiyah, it's in terms of eating and drinking. So maybe the idea was, you know, we already did our Chasi Lashem, you know, we davened, we learned, okay, now that you're sitting down at the Suda, now the Suda should be a Suda. You know, don't get distracted by the other things like Tzmiras. I don't know, I'm throwing that out there, as, I was just thinking that now as a possibility. Whereas on Shabbos, you know, we do find the concept that, we've quoted before from Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, that Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam writes that if a person was really on a tremendous madrego, he could fast on Shabbos, you know, because, and that would be his way of coming close to Hashem. So, Hagam, we're not recommending that, but the Zmiros, you know, the Zmiros maybe underscore the idea that really at a certain level, Shabbos is more about the spirituality, but Yom Tov knows about the Achilu Shtiyah. Right, so the truth is that that fits very well with the idea that Shabbos is more holy than a Yom Tov. In other words, Shabbos is an idea that really on a theoretical level we would be called, you know, totally spiritual. On Yom Tov, you know, we're more physical, so they didn't write Zmiros, you know, for the Yom Tov meals. Again, I don't know whether this is correct or not. I'm just putting it out there, and if you like it, you like it. You don't like it, okay, so you don't like it. Fine. Okay, so the Psukim in Perek Vav describe the story of the Nazir and the halachas of the Nazir. And towards the end of that parsha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vizos Taras HaNazir B'yol Melos Yemei Nizrael. This is what the Nazir does on the day on which his Neder Nazirus is over. Right? Chazal say that a Stam Nazir is Shloshim Yom. If you make a vow to be a Nazir without specifying, it's a 30-day commitment. You can make a longer commitment. Right? So, but whatever, you know, whatever his commitment is over, so the Pasuk describes all of the karbanos that he's supposed to bring. And then in Pasuk Chaf, the Pasuk concludes, the achar, and after he's finished all of this, yishta hanazir yayin. The nazir is allowed to drink wine. Right? After he's done all of this stuff, in other words, his nazirus is over. It's a very interesting comment that Ksav HaKabbalah quotes from the Al-Shech HaKadosh. Again, a very, very short, but very, very pithy. Milas HaNazir Nosaf. The word HaNazir in that Pasuk is really superfluous. V'achar yishta HaNazir Yayin. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Nazir, right? He does this, he does that, he brings this carbon, that carbon. V'achar yishta Yayin, and after he does all of that, he can drink wine. Why do you have to say V'achar yishta HaNazir Yayin? We know what we're talking about. There are no two people in this story, right? There's only the Nazir. So why achar yishta HaNazir Yayin? So says the Al-Shech, is a beautiful idea. Ki acharei melos yemei nizrael enenu nazir od. True. After the 30 days or whatever it is have come to an end, technically speaking, he's no longer a nazir. Amnam kishahoyso nizirusu l'ashem be'emes l'achnia yitzro. However, if his nazirus was l'shem shamayim, and he really accomplished what he wanted to accomplish during that period of time that he was a Nazir. Why did he become a Nazir? Again, if he's a sincere Nazir, he did it in order to sublimate his physical desires and to devote himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he did Nazirus the way it's supposed to be done, Tishar lo aprishus minatayvus bekinyan. He may not be a Nazir at the end of the process, but it's not like it's done, it's over. That degree of precious, of separation from his earthly desires that he gained while being a Nazir, that stays with him. The imprint of being a Nazir stays with him. V'gam acharei melos yemei nizrael. So even after his Nazirus is over, v'acharei shtoso yayin, and even after he's already back to drinking wine, adayin toar Nazirus yitzak bo, it's still not wrong to call him a Nazir, v'lo yivgod od. And no longer is he going to be to betray. In other words, I think what he means is no longer is he going to allow his base desires to get the better of him. So the achar yishta hanazir yayin, even after he finished his nazirus and even after he's drinking wine, on some level he's still called the nazir, right? In other words, the impact that the days of nazirus had on him, you know, is not going to be lost. That's a tremendous Mr. Haskell. There's certainly, I think everybody kemat, you know, goes through certain times in life that are very spiritually rich and powerful, right? You know, for most of us, there's certain times during the year, a person goes through Elul, a person goes through the Yamim Noroim, or Stam, you go through a Yom Tov, right? We just came off the Shavuos, we're still on a high from Shavuos a little bit. So once that hot period is over, is it just like, okay, you know, same old, back to normal? You know, Shavuos is over. Shavuos, we declared our allegiance to Limud HaTorah.
what about now? So why aren't we learning? Well, Shavuos is over. You know? So is that the attitude? No. So if we do those periods of time right, again, we're not going to stay up all night, every night, and learn. I mean, maybe we will. I don't want to stop you if you will. But, you know, most of us are not going to be doing that. But, you know, even though we're not doing something as extreme as that, the hope is that if we did it right, that Roshem, that imprint of what Shavuos was all about, is still with us. We're still Shavuos Yidden, you know, even though Shavuos is over. You know, a fellow spends a year, 2 years, 5 years in the yeshiva. Okay, so, you know, he leaves the yeshiva, he's involved in many other things other than Limud HaTorah. So what, you know, so now he's not a Ben Torah, now he's not learning anymore. No, okay, so he doesn't learn as much. But, you know, the hope is that the experience that he had is an experience that stays with him, you know, even after he's out of the yeshiva, and he can be called a Ben Yeshiva, you know, even once he's working on Wall Street. In other words, you know, that experience makes an impression upon him, which we hope is going to be everlasting. That's the Achar Yishta Anozir Yayin. Even after he's drinking wine, you know, he's still called the Nozir. Yeah.
Actually, I thought you were possibly going to say that the opinion that says that the Nazir has to drink wine, obligated to drink wine.
Right. It's interesting, right? You know, so.
Maybe that's why it says Hanozir.
Right. Now, so what? Why do you want to say that with the Hanozir?
He has to bring the korban kachos. Obviously,
the Kodesh
Baruch Hu really doesn't like Nazir.
Right. So that's the machlokas and the Gemara, whether being a Nazir is a positive thing or a negative thing, right? So you're saying if it's a negative thing, so if Acha Yishta Nazir Yayin means he must, you know, resume a lifestyle of drinking wine, right?
Well, if he has to drink wine this time.
Right, so the truth is, so we can put the two things together in a certain sense. In other words, the goal post-Nazirus is to be a Nazir who drinks wine. In other words, the goal post-Nazirus is not to forget about his Nazirus, you know, just go back to the regular, ordinary life and forget about it. You know, and not to say that spirituality is something that's only attainable as a Nazir, but his goal post-Nazirus is to be able to somehow balance the two, you know, to put things back into balance, you know, that he can be a Shosa Yayin and a Nazir, somebody who drinks wine and is a Nazir in a certain sense. Right, you know, but that the point that we're making is that, you know, the Torah is mandating that he bring those two worlds together. Okay. The next piece I want to see is a chiddush of the Ksav HaKabbalah himself. And with this, we skip forward to the parsha of Birkas Kohanim, which is in the Chumash at the very end of Perek Vav. Perek Vav, Pasuk Chof Beis. So the pasuk says, "Daber el Aaron ve'obon of Lamar, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, Kos tevarachu es b'nei Yisrael, thus shall you bless b'nei Yisrael, amor lohem, say to them." So amor lohem means who should say to whom, right? So the simple pshat, you know, is that the Kohanim should say to B'nai Yisrael, Omor Elohim. You know, you the Kohanim should say to B'nai Yisrael. So Rashi over here quotes or writes that the word Omor is Kimo Zachar Shomor. Right? And it's just, you know, he's talking grammatically. In other words, it's a Lashon Tzivui, it's a commandment. You know, remember, guard. So Omor, you know, you should say to them. So Uvishmos Kosav Rashi on the Pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros, where we know the word Zachar famously appears, Zachar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, so Rashi there writes, Tnu Leiv L'Zkor Tomid is Yom HaShabbos. That the word Zachar carries with it the implication of remembering it always. Right? V'rod Saloma, L'fisha HaMakar Omei B'makom Avar V'ostid, Ki Ushem Po'al Bilti Mugbo B'Zman Zulas B'Zman. Right, what Rashi means to say is that particular conjugation, Zachar, right, carries with it the implication of both present as well as future. And therefore Rashi writes that whenever that conjugation, Zachar, Shamar, implies something which is constant, which is never ending. Always keep Shabbos in mind. Always observe Shabbos. V'lozeh amru kadmoneinu kan amor, Milamed Shashat Omer Lahem al Kaldibur Vidibur. That gives rise to the drasha that Chazal say over here, that Amar Lohem is not just simply the Kohanim should say to the people, or you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should tell Aaron and his sons that this is the bracha, because if that was the case, you know, Amar Lohem, tell Aaron and his sons that this is the bracha, that would be a one-time thing, right? That would be Emor, right? Emor Lohem. Amar Lohem with a comma implies something that's ongoing. And that leads Chazal to make the following drasha. We know that the way we do Birkas Kohanim is that the Baal Tefillah recites every word, and then the Kohanim follow. Yivarechecha, Yivarechecha, etc., etc., etc. That has to say Chazal. The Gemara Masechta Sota is based on a pasuk. Our pasuk, Amar Lohem, say to them, say to the Kohanim, prompt the Kohanim as to how to recite the words of Birkas Kohanim itself. Why did Chazal say we see it that way? Why didn't Chazal just see Amar Lohem means, tell Aaron and his sons that this is the bracha that they should give? So that's Aksava Kabbalah's explaining. That would have been Emor. Right? Amor carries with it the implication of something which is ongoing, which is Tadir, which is Talmud, which is always happening. And, in other words, this is an integral part of the procedure of the Birkas Kohanim. But by the way, we should just mention, I think we mentioned in the past, but the Kliyokar on this Pasuk points out that you see from the fact that it's darshaned from a Pasuk that the Chazan reciting the words and prompting the Kohanim is not simply a technique to make sure that the Kohanim say the right thing. Right? In other words, one is tempted to say as follows. Why does the Chazan prompt the Kohanim? Because, the Kohanim get up there, they pull a talisim over their heads, they don't know which word to say next, maybe they didn't memorize Birkas Kohanim, and, the Chazan should prompt them. So it's just as a practical thing, to make sure they're going to say the right thing. So the Kliyokar says, you see that that's not true, because if it was just a practical thing, we wouldn't have a Pasuk that would be telling us that it's an integral part of the procedure, right? And let's say, Taka, you had Kohanim, who you knew Birkas Kohanim backwards and forwards, you had no doubts whatsoever that they're going to say the right thing. They can't. It's so hard to get up there and just say, without prompting, Yibarechecha Hashem, Yishmerecha, Yor Hashem, Bono Vilecha, Vichunecha, right, etc. So they're not allowed to do that. They have to do it in that form of call and response. So the Kliyaka writes that the Torah wants to show us that the Tzibur is an integral part of the Bracha. In other words, don't think it's just some special power that the Kohanim have to transfer the bracha and the tzibur is irrelevant. The tzibur invites the bracha, and therefore there's zocha to the bracha. In other words, it's all part of a cycle through which the tzibur and the kohanim are working together in order to bring down Hashem's bracha on Klal Yisrael. That insight from the Kliyokar leads us, I think, very, very nicely into the last Kliyokar, which we're going to take a look at tonight, which is the Chiddush. A beautiful chiddush of the Kliyokar himself. So after the psukim present the Birkas Kohanim, we conclude in Pasuk Chav Zayin, V'samu es shmi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarachem. Usually translated, they will place my name on b'nei Yisrael, and I will bless them. What do you mean they will place my name on b'nei Yisrael? Right, so the impression you have is sort of that again, this magical power that the Kohanim have, that they pull down the Shem Hashem from the heavens and throw it in some way on Klal Yisrael. But what does that mean? It's a very interesting picture, but what exactly does that mean? So says the Ksava Kabbalah, Lo nuchalu farsho min som al shichma she'inyano hanachas chefetz b'makom. Clearly this somu eshemi doesn't mean they'll place my name in a physical sense, that, they're placing my name down, on Klal Yisrael. Because, again, that's lacking in meaning. Rather, it's like the Pasuk in Kriya Shema, which we're going to say in just a few moments, you should place these words on your hearts. Now, that's not meant literally. It means you should reflect upon these words. Means you should reflect upon these words.
Mikol makom,
So why is the word v'samtem used to describe something which is all about hisbonus, about contemplating something? Because the idea behind it, he says, is as follows. If I'm really thinking about something, we say in English, it weighs on me. You know, the matter is placed upon me. I can't get rid of it. I can't divest myself of it. Something that's on my mind is something that's weighing on me. That we use the term even in English itself. So the sometimes devar ayela means, you know, place the weight of these words upon my thoughts so that it's not something I can easily get rid of. So therefore, in this context, the term v'samuesh shmi al b'nei Yisrael. So what is v'samuesh shmi al b'nei Yisrael means? It means as follows. V'mesh shehem mevarchem es habrocha hanizkeres. When the Kohanim invoke this bracha, namely, shmi yachadim ba kol atovos v'aslochos hazmanios v'anizkios rakei lov yitzborach. What are the Kohanim saying? They're essentially reminding the Jewish people, all the brachas in the world come from Hashem. Yivarechacha Hashem Yishmerecha reminds me that Hashem is Mekar HaBracha, that He's the source of Bracha. Everything that come, that we have in the world comes from Hashem. Bezeh ye'oriru eslev b'nei Yisrael shelo yasimu b'tchonam b'chocham v'otzem yadam lasos chayim. So this realization shocks Klal Yisrael into coming to the realization that, you know, it's not the strength of their hand, it's not their own power that brings about, you know, the brachas in this world. By listening to the Birkas Kohanim, by reflecting upon the Birkas Kohanim, the Mizbarchim, the Klal Yisrael who are getting the bracha, realize that bracha can only come from Hashem. That, and in a sense, it's a cycle, right? In other words, how does it work? Right? Is magic? You know, the Kohanim say a couple of words, and magically, you know, we get a bracha. By the Kohanim, the beautiful insight, I think, of the Sava Kabbalah is, by the Kohanim saying these words, it gets Klal Yisrael to think about these concepts that only Hashem is the Makor HaBracha. This Samu Es Shemi Al B'nei Yisrael. They will cause B'nei Yisrael to reflect upon my name. Right? And therefore, Mimelo Vani Avarchem. And when Klal Yisrael realized that Hashem is the Makor HaBracha, that in its own right, now brings the bracha upon Klal Yisrael. It's not magic. What, you say words and now magically all of a sudden good things are going to happen? No. The recitation of the Birkas Kohanim creates a mindset within Klal Yisrael, which in turn causes the bracha to come down. Klal Yisrael recognized ki kol zeh shav v'nisa. Anything in the world is worthless. Im Hashem lo yifach es otzoro atov levarchem ulishamram ulashpia b'chol tov. If God's not going to make the bracha happen, it's just not going to happen. Umabatik v'asam l'yeh rakal Hashem. They should put their trust only in Hashem. V'chodaygos levavam rak l'yos davuk bo b'lipirut machshavi. And everything that we yearn for should be just to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without anything coming between our thoughts and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that the Samuel Shmi al B'nai Yisrael is the essence of how the bracha itself works. Get Klal Yisrael to reflect upon my name, Fani Avarchem, and I'm going to give them the bracha, says the Aksav HaKabbalah. We pick up after Ma'ariv Be'ezus Hashem. We'll see just one more piece from Aksav HaKabbalah on the Samuel Shmi al B'nai Yisrael, where he relates to a drash of Chazal and that pasuk. So Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see that right after Ma'ariv. Okay, Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos. Okay, welcome to the second half of this year, Aksav HaKabbalah, Parshas Naso. So we just want to add a very brief addendum to what we have spoken about before. So the Aksav HaKabbalah focuses on the Pasuk, B'Samu Eshmi Al B'nei Yisrael V'ani Avarchem, by Birkas Kohanim. He says it clearly doesn't mean that Hashem's, that the Kohanim are just going to place my name on Klal Yisrael, because again, what does that mean? So rather he interprets it, B'Samu Eshmi Al B'nei Yisrael, the Kohanim, by extending the Birkas Kohanim, caused Klal Yisrael to be mindful of my name. V'samtem es dvar ayela al levavchem. They caused Klal Yisrael to recognize that all of the brachas really come from Hashem, and that whatever we do, we're totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once Klal Yisrael comes to that realization, v'ani avarchem, so then Hashem says, then I can bless Klal Yisrael, because they understand that I'm the Makar HaBracha, that I'm ultimately the source for all the brachas. So he then brings an alternative explanation from Chazal and says and shows how it also fits into this unusual lashon v'samu. The Rabbi Seinu Yomru b'Sifri u'v'Talmud, Chazal say in both the Gemara and the Sifri, Yivarchum b'Shmi amiyuchad li. The Samu Hashemi means that when the Kohanim bless the people, they should invoke the Shem HaMefurosh. Now, the Kohanim, when they go and duchen and say the bracha today, they don't invoke the Shem HaMefurosh. But Darshan Chazal should be based on Mikdosh. Yivarchum b'Shem HaMefurosh. From this pasuk, we learn that when they invoked the Birkas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, they would use the Shema Mefurosh. So where does that come from? So I think, you know, the standard way of reading the Drash of Chazal is Vesfamu es Shemi. They should place my name, you know, the name that's associated with Hashem. But interesting, the Aksava Kabbalah says that the Drash also comes from the word Vesfamu, and that's as follows. The Divrem Eilo Yavo Anachon Milas Vesfamu Kimilas sima yare al davish yelo eses seder mechuyav v'naos. As the Ksava Kabbalah wrote back in Sefer Shmos, the difference between loseis and losim, which both mean to place, is that loseis just means you put it down. Losim means to put that something down with a seder, with a tremendous degree of thought and order. And therefore, Vissamu es Shemi means not so much just they should place my name, but they should arrange my name. In other words, they should arrange the unique name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when giving the Birkas Kohanim, not just say it, but arrange it. V'lazek kiven shebishar mekomos mishanin kriya shem yudke vavke baruch hu l'shem adokoi. We know in general, based on a pasuk as well, that the Shem Yudke Vavke is pronounced Adokai, Zeh Shmi Le'olam, Zeh Zichri L'Dor Dor, Lo'kish Ani Nichtav Ani Nikra, Chazal Darshan, that from the Torah itself, the Shem Yudke Vavke is replaced in many contexts with the Shem Adnos, and our Tfilos, and our Brachos, and the like. V'kan Yitzrich HaTorah L'Vlish Shanos Kriyoso. So here the Torah has to emphasize that the way Hashem's name is the way it's pronounced. Read the name of Hashem. The Kohanim should pronounce the name of Hashem v'samu, the way it's arranged in writing. They should pronounce the name the way it's arranged in writing. That's the implication of v'samu es shemi. How Chazal get from there that it's davka the Shem HaMefurosh. Had it simply said v'nosnu es shemi al b'nei Yisrael, they should put my name on B'nai Yisrael, which you would have thought offhand is a synonym for Samu Hashemi al B'nai Yisrael. It would not carry the same connotation of utilizing the Shema Mufush. But Samu means, you know, use the name the way it's arranged normally in terms of the pronunciation. Right? So that, again, the Ksava Kabbalah adds this little point that the Drush of Chazal as well is built on the subtlety of using Vesamu as opposed to Vinosnu or some other kind of Lashon. Yeah.
How are we supposed to understand that? I mean, the only person who knew the Shem HaMefurosh was the Kohen Gadol.
Well, no. So the Kohen Gadol does use it on Yom Kippur. He might use a bigger Shem as well, this Machlokas Vishonim. But here the Kohanim, when they duchened in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not necessarily the Kohen Gadol, but regular Kohanim would use the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Well, that's a discussion what the Shem HaMefurosh actually is. Again, when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur used the Shem HaMefurosh, some would say that he used the Shem that was 72 letters long, a very mystical Shem. Here, I think the implication is simply, you know, Shem HaMefurosh is usually used in the sense of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So in other words, they invoked the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, but they said it the way it was written, as opposed to saying Adokai, you know, which is what we typically do. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, next week, I think it's the regular schedule for Wednesday. Oh, no, one second, no. So next week, Be'ezus Hashem, the shiur is going to be Monday night in Aksava Kabbalah, simply because, Baruch Hashem, for various good reasons, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, I'm away for office Simchus, Baruch Hashem. So next week, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll have the shiur Monday night, as opposed to Wednesday night. So Bez Hashem, we'll see everybody then. Okay.